Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
Today we're going to examine different ways of addressing the problems and mistakes that arise at work. We'll start with a question from someone whose boss always assumes the employee is at fault when a problem arises.
Ooh.
Not good.
Yep.
During the second part of our podcast, we'll discuss what managers can do if they have employees who refuse to own their mistakes.
Oh, Interesting. This is really an interesting topic to me because problems and mistakes are certain to occur, right, in any workplace. And so how a manager handles problems that involve staff and whether an employee can own their own mistakes, it's really important.
Yep.
I hope listeners will send more questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
Logan, what's our question?
I recently took a job in product development at a large high-profile company, and I'm having some difficulties with my new boss. He was recently promoted to head our department, but his background is in sales, and he doesn't seem to understand what we do. Whenever there's a problem involving a client or another department, he always assumes it's my fault and blames me for the problem. He never even asks to hear my side of the story. In addition, if a subject comes up that he doesn't understand, he says, "No one told me about this," which is not true because I brief him all the time about what we are doing. How do I manage this situation?
I mean, this is like kind of intuitive that a boss should know to have their staff's back.
Yeah.
It's kind of intuitive, but it isn't for him, maybe because he comes from sales and sales always has the customer's back. I don't know. I don't know. But then he also doesn't know about things because you've already told him he doesn't remember. But, you know, it may be that it's new. So hearing it once is not enough for this person. They may have to, like, you know, sit through a little bit of a training. They may have to hear things for 6 months. You know, they may, you know. It may take a while for it to seep in.
See, right. I love it that you're giving the benefit of the doubt here.
Why? You already want to chop his head off? See, you don't know that about Catherine. She seems so nice.
On the surface.
Judgy. I'm very judgy. No, you're right. I mean, but I do think that if he consistently says, "No one told me about this," that this is his way of deflecting. You know, not understanding something. And that can happen if you've been transferred from an area that you knew to one that you don't know. It's probably, and you're the head of that department, it's probably very embarrassing if you don't really understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think, so two things that I would say. One is, I just want to say you are not crazy if you feel a little crazy in this kind of situation, because I think the first time and then the following times when your boss does not, as you say, Kathy, back you when a problem arises can be very disorienting, especially if it's a new position. We like to think that our bosses will at least find out what happened before blaming us for a problem.
Right.
I mean, I think it happens with bosses that feel insecure. So they always want to, you know, say, "Oh, that's terrible. That should never happen. I'll talk to my staff."
Yeah.
You know, so it could be a knee-jerk reaction to this person, but I think this person may be having, but I think you have to go to this person and say, "I really need you to have my back." So if a client complains, that if you come to me, I'll explain what happened.
Right.
Unless, you know, we want to have a meeting every week and I'll tell you everything that's going on, which I don't know that you need to know all that. But always assume that we have your back and that we have the customer's back, but sometimes things go wrong. I think you actually have to say this to bosses. And I have heard people say it to bosses that needed to hear it.
And have the bosses heard it?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't say that every one of them heard it, but, you know, I
Most.
Can remember distinct times when employees did hear it and say, "Okay, thank you for telling me that."
Yeah.
I mean, if, you know, people haven't been trained in management and they weren't treated properly, they may not know that.
Yeah. Right.
So everybody, should have the benefit of the doubt and be taught or requests made, these requests made.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I like that thing of saying, I need you to have my back just mm-hmm. as I have your back, mm-hmm. and to then be very specific about the next time someone comes to you with a complaint, please check it with me first before assuming that it's my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just think you have to do that. I would document it, that you had that conversation mm-hmm. and, you know, that would be the date, yeah. the time that you had that conversation and what the person said so that you have it in your file. In fact, if you, when you have that meeting, if you want to do an agenda and make sure it's on the agenda and check it off, that way you'll have a record. Either way, you have a record that you had that conversation.
Right. So he can't pull the no one ever told me.
Right.
This.
Well, he can.
That one you can do.
Yeah. You can. You have that to go to HR.
Right, right.
That one, actually, I have a client who figured out a very clever workaround for the no one told me about this, which is that she just started keeping a log, but always with just brief summaries of what was going on, and she sort of fed it to her boss mm-hmm. as each day, each week progressed. Mm-hmm. And before they would have a meeting, she would have a pre-meeting and just say, you know, just want to make sure you got that summary and see if you have questions and, you know, here we go.
Right.
And also said, is there an area that you'd like me to speak to during this meeting? So kind of stepping in for areas that he, in her case, it was a he boss, did not know enough about and might feel insecure.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's all you can do. You got to keep a running tally of this. If it happens again, mm-hmm. you can go back and say, look, we discussed this.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's see if we can work on this. And then you have documented and then you have something to go to HR with. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this boss is not going to hang out that long. Probably wants to go back to sales, makes more money.
Probably.
But I think what you're saying, that like there's a very key ingredient here, which is you're saying that as an employee, you have the right to request this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have the right to say,
oh, you have to. Yeah.
I need you to have my back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a given that managers know to do that. It's just not a given. And I've seen a lot of management courses. That's not always taught. It's sort of intuitive that you know that.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't think everybody understands that.
Is it not a given for it to be the other way around too? For you to have your boss's back? Or is there an assumption that you always do?
I think that it depends how you're brought up.
Mm. Uh-huh.
There are people that are brought up, you have nobody's back.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm. Right.
I mean, we just got an email from somebody, a question where, you know, the people she trusted didn't have her back.
Yeah.
And she waited a long time to see who she could trust.
Right.
So it depends.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah,
I know. All right. So let's discuss what managers can do if they have a staff member or more who refuses to own their own mistakes. And that happens where they, you know, point a finger at somebody else. That wasn't my fault. No, I couldn't have possibly known about that. Oh, that was someone else's responsibility. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to deflect things.
Sure.
And people use them. But if you realize you've got someone like you do it once, you do it twice, you keep doing it. Okay, this is a person who just doesn't take any responsibility for their mistakes. What do you do?
Fire them? No.
Well, I mean, it could lead to that, but I think you have to, you know, tell them that there's no shame in making a mistake, that I appreciate when you say, oh, my mistake, and you repair it. I mean, in the sooner you tell me you made a mistake, the quicker we can resolve it.
Right.
People have to be taught that also. I think there's a certain part of the population that would rather avoid
admitting
that they made a mistake.
Well, there are some people who can admit they made mistakes.
Well, there's that too.
And they just don't have the psychological wherewithal to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, to your point, it probably you would have to at least bring a very concrete example about mm-hmm. a mistake that the person failed to own and mm-hmm. needs to own, and how you would, and then almost demonstrate how you wish they would own it in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you
Yes, and I would
coach managers.
I mean, I would explain to all the staff, maybe even all at once, that the quicker I'm brought a mistake, there's no shame in mistakes. The quicker I'm brought mistakes, the faster we can get rid of them. There's no shame, you know. And you have to create a culture of people owning their mistakes. You know, they may have been burned in the past. They may, you know, have had a very punitive boss or teacher or parent who was a perfectionist and didn't allow any kinds of mistakes.
Well, interesting you say that, because I think one way to encourage that behavior is to own your own mistakes and to, you know, to normalize it. So as a manager, not everyone wants to do that either, but every time you say, okay, this was a mistake that I made, I'm not going to make it in the future, is letting them know that it's not, you know, a punishable crime, that it's part of what happens.
Right, is if it's caught early. It's when you know about it and you don't say anything and you let others, you know, figure it out and then have to work over time.
Yeah, and you can also demonstrate appreciating someone else owning their mistake. And I guess you can use, I mean, I remember,
mistake of the week. We can have like a party.
Exactly.
What dumb mistakes have we made?
But this is a big deal, and I think it is rarely embraced, honestly.
I know.
In a work culture. So I think it's a really good point that you're making about that you have as a manager, if you have someone who refuses to own mistakes, it's probably not just their who they are, but what they're coming from, previous experiences that they're coming from. And so you have to demonstrate that it's okay.
I was once in a team full of doctors, and they were obstetricians. So they were they help women give birth. And, you know, they have to pass patients on when they're, you know, hours are up. So this one woman who had helped a woman give birth made a mistake. And she said at the time it seemed like the best decision, but later it wasn't. And I remember her owning it and nobody had an issue with it.
Right.
They just picked up the pieces and they took it from there, because everybody, I guess, when faced with a certain set of facts, makes a decision.
Right.
It's not always the right decision. So I thought, I remember learning from that, what a mature, you know, way to handle things.
Yeah.
And there were no ramifications to it at all.
Yeah.
So I think you as the leader have to create that kind of a dynamic.
So we're talking about two interesting sort of side-by-side dynamics. One is understanding problems and mistakes are part of the workplace. Understanding if you have staff who, if there's a problem that's presented to you as a manager, that it's important to have your employees back in the moment, at least until you find out what's really going on. And understanding as an employee how important it is to own your mistakes. It's a trifecta.
Yes.
That's it for this podcast. If you have any further comments or thoughts on this topic, please tweet us at AskK2 and also follow us on Instagram at MyCrazyOffice.
And if you want to receive our podcast email, text us at 228-28 and type in MyCrazyOffice. That's all one word, MyCrazyOffice at 228-28.
Finally, don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.